There's someone for everyone.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. To be in touch with the program, all you do is text me. Some regrettable news here. I'm not totally surprised. Nicole Wadsworth, making today's appearance on the program. It first rang a little bit and then went to voicemail, and then every effort to dial her in went directly to voicemail shortly thereafter. So there you have it. Our opportunity has gone by the wayside to get Dr. Wadsworth on the program. There's one candidate we likely won't be hearing from this election cycle, Lieutenant Governor. But we tried. Absolutely tried. And in the meantime, 251-343-0106. Get more of me. In about an hour from now, you get some Dell Jackson from WVNN and a Yellowhammer News. We'll see if we can make this work. Let's kick it off here. Congratulations on the announcement. Start here. Talk about your decision.
Sure. So I'm Nicole Wadsworth, and I'm running for lieutenant governor as a Republican. The primary is May 19th of 2026. And what I'm really wanting to do is transfer my knowledge of what I learned in the private sector to the public sector. I work with businesses all day long, and really for the past 20 years, I've been able to travel the state. I think we tallied up the other day that I've been to all 67 counties over 25 times. And as a site selector, you interact with members of the community all the time. So what I have learned is that there are different areas of the state that have different needs. So how can I use the Lieutenant Governor's office to help all of Alabama and put it first? What I've heard from people is that they're concerned about job recruitment and retention, levels of workforce training, statewide infrastructure in both our urban and rural areas, access to rural health care, as well as public safety concerns. So I want to, as a lieutenant governor, be able to help Alabamians in our urban and rural market in those key areas. Obviously, I'm a Republican. I've volunteered for Republican candidates for many years. I've volunteered with President Trump's campaign all three times that he ran. So I'm pro-life. I'm fiscally conservative. I'm pro-Second Amendment. But how do we take that campaign further than that? And that's what I'm wanting to do.
And the unique role of Lieutenant Governor, I guess probably one of the primary duties. Obviously, there's some appointments involved. Presiding over the Senate, that's a lion's share of your job for at least a few months a year. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So, as you know, the Lieutenant Governor's position was stripped of a lot of its formal power in the 1990s. And so right now, constitutionally, my role would be to preside over the Senate and make appointments. And in case there ever was a tie, I'd be able to vote in case of a tie. You know, that's one thing that we've gotten over the campaign trail over the course of folks will say, I want you to vote on this or I want you to vote on that. And I have to explain to them, I really probably will never vote on anything. But what I can do is use that as a position of influence to help Alabamians. Communication with other legislators is key, you know, whether it be people working in the Senate, obviously, whomever is in the governor's office, you want to be on the same page, because when you can communicate well with your peers and your goal is to put Alabama first, we can all help Alabama better if we work together. I also want to use the position to communicate well with our federal partners, whether it be with our congressmen or our state, our U.S. senators, or even the president's office, because there's a lot of federal dollars that are sitting there that I can help as a lieutenant governor bring back to Alabama to help Alabamians. Infrastructure, for example. I mean, if we're going to widen I-65 or do a road project on I-22, it is going to be done with federal money. So having those communication and, you know, having good relationships with those folks are key.
I got to know you a little bit when I was on the air in Huntsville, but tell us a little bit about your story here, where you're from, you know, how you got into the racket of Alabama politics.
Sure. So I'm originally from the Huntsville area. My background is in business, contracts, and economics, commercial real estate development. That's really my sweet spot. I am a site selector and a consultant primarily for office, industrial, and medical facilities. And what makes my role unique as a site selector is I only work with companies within the state of Alabama. So whether they're a one-room sole practitioner attorney or a multi-million dollar corporation, part of my company core culture is to keep those companies here at home. So as a site selector, they may say, I want to put a medical office building in Alabama. You know, they may narrow it down to a specific part of the state that they want to be in. So I take the client around and I'll tour different counties and help them learn about the particular area that they're targeting. If you look at a business balance sheet, HR, the human capital, is always that most expensive number. So if it's a company coming from another part of the country, for example, they want to make sure that those quality of life issues are put into place before they move their employees. So, for example, like if a husband or a wife doesn't like the area or they think they're unsafe or maybe the area has bad schools or they don't have a doctor in that town, those are components that may cause us to just cross that area off of the list. So as Lieutenant Governor, I want to help communities build on the strengths that they do have so that ultimately people won't have to leave the state of Alabama to get a job, or that they can stay in their rural areas and have suitable employment.
Well, you know, and that's, there are parts of the state that just don't seem to be moving in a efficiently in an economic development manner. I mean, obviously in your neck of the woods up in Huntsville, it's hitting on all cylinders. Seems to be doing pretty well down in this part of the state. I mean, there's always room for improvement, but you're right. They're rural Alabama, maybe it's workforce, or, but that's the obstacle. That's the barrier. There is getting something going on in the Black Belt or you know, other pockets throughout the state. When you look at a place like that, you know, what do you do there?
I think one of the best assets that we have statewide now is our broadband infrastructure. So I started on some grassroots committees back in 2017, looking at broadband is considered infrastructure, looking at ways that we can work with the USDA, for example, to bring, you know, grant money to the state of Alabama to help build out a network. So you do have a lot of rural areas now that did not have even basic internet service, that do have broadband. Coleman Electric, for example, has a program called Sprout Fiber Internet that has brought internet to both Coleman counties and Winston County. And as a result of the fiber network in Winston County, Wallace State Community College has put a distant learning center that will open next month in the Arley area of Winston County, which is close enough to the school where students can utilize the computer lab to do dual enrollment, but it'll also offer GED courses for the community, because you have close to 30% of the county that they don't even have a high school education. So, you know, making sure that the internet is accessible in areas is key for any type of business or educational facility to go in. But then also, you know, our roads are part of that infrastructure. Our port, you know, is part of that infrastructure. And, you know, just helping communities learn how to get creative with what they have, and then almost using the Lieutenant Governor's position to be a community connector.
Well, what about manufacturing? And because, you know, I grew up in the one example I always point to, sort of South Alabama, Monroe mm-hmm. County, Escambia County, places like that. They you know, textiles, mm-hmm. it was a big thing. Cotton was king, and mm-hmm. you had a local workforce, and they were, you know, they kept the union organized labor away. That was a big plus. And then obviously the 90s with trade, that changed mm-hmm. things drastically. How do you rekindle the manufacturing core of Alabama?
Sure. So obviously it's really important for the economy of Alabama to do whatever we can to keep those tech dollars at home, and that's through employment in manufacturing. I think using our community college network is key. There was probably about 20 years with, for whatever reason, the messaging was, you have to go to college and you have to get a 4-year plus degree in order to be employed and have a good paying job. It's completely opposite than now. And, you know, in a way, we've almost reaped what we've sown by not emphasizing the trade. So there's been a changing messaging. You can, for example, go to school for 2 years and be in a welding profession and make six figures in welding. You can live in an area like a Huntsville or a Mobile that utilizes a lot of advanced manufacturing technology and 3D printing and be able to learn that through our community college system and have a great paying job with benefits. Some of these other areas, we can teach people through our state's workforce programs on how to retool their skills. You know, they might learn how to, I don't know, they might be good at chopping wood, you know, teach them how to use a machine to carve wood and help the forestry industry. All of that can be done at the state level. And we have some really good grant programs where we partner with Alabama-based businesses to make that happen. And again, I think just meeting people where they're at and letting them know that there's assistance out there already that's funded by taxpayer dollars, you just have to ask for it, is key. You know, there's a lot of grant funds available too, that, you know, people can apply as a one-page application and they can potentially, you know, get some money for their community. If you don't ask, you don't get. So it's just showing them what's out there so they can get what they need.
And, you know, you mentioned education and the sort of push toward college prep. That's where it was when I was growing up. And, you know, I think you're right. It's changed. Are we in a better place? I mean, obviously we are in a different place. What else needs to be done education-wise to change the objective of the workforce, or what the future workforce, let's say?
I think it's really important that education and businesses talk to one another. And that starts early. You know, that starts with mentors going into classrooms and telling them what an accountant does. What kind of education do you need to be a CPA, for example? Or what does it take to work in advanced manufacturing at the Toyota plant? And just exposing students to potential career paths as early as possible. Because for a lot of kids around Alabama, unless somebody in their immediate family was employed in a certain profession, they really don't know what's out there. So businesses and schools, just they need to talk to each other better. I have a colleague from Huntsville, Dr. Harry Hobbs. He and his wife started a program several years ago called Community Awareness for Youth. And it was an event, it's an annual event in the summer in Huntsville that exposes students primarily in middle and high school to different career paths in the finance area, healthcare, government, and community services. Any business can participate in this fair or big giant festival. It's started with about 500 attendees. Now it has over 5,000 attendees. And the only requirement for a business to have a booth is that they bring some sort of trade show item or school supply that, you know, will target youth in those areas. So, you know, again, his story is he grew up in a, you know, a tough financial situation, and he always says that he had good mentors, and had he had not had mentors, he wouldn't be where he is today. And I could say the same thing. I mean, we've all had, you know, you can't get anywhere by yourself. Everybody has folks along their life who have taught them something to help them be a better person. And, you know, that's the goal. You know, we want to be a good influence and just help people be better people. And they've certainly done that just by communicating.
Dr. Wadsworth, we got to leave it there. Folks want to find out more about your campaign. How can they do so?
My website, campaign website, is NicoleForAlabama.com. You can email us through the website. You're welcome to call me. My telephone number is 334-544-1334. I also have a professional Facebook page, Dr. Nicole J. Wadsworth. We have a campaign Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm accessible. I'm around here in the state, always have been, always will be. I encourage you, let's just continue that conversation.
Dr. Wadsworth, ladies and gentlemen, running for Lieutenant Governor. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. The 7th Talk 106.